Our text today will be taken out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse number 1, going to verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, going to verse number 6. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, verse 6. Is everybody there? John, you didn't need my spectacles. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm just checking, bro. We seem to have the same prescription. Blind. That wasn't real funny, y'all. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 6 reads, I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I, who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away. I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not warring, waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Amen. Not a short title, but opposition to the work of God, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 6. These are a couple of points that we will actually go through. Paul answers the accusation about his behavior while in Corinth and away, verses 1 through 2. Paul gives a prescription for dealing with such accusations and those who make them. As we get started, Paul now warns the Corinthians, it was I who came to you as a representative of Christ in meekness and gentleness. And then he repeats the accusation. This is a quick context. Someone had accused Paul again, of being meek in the presence of the Corinthians. And then they said when he was away, he was meek when he was there, but when he was away, he was bold. But they said when he came to the church, he was like, meely momo, meely momo. Listen, you all, they must have forgot what his previous life was. He persecuted the church. He not only got them, but he went after them, Brother Kevin. He was on his way to Damascus with letters to take people into custody who actually named the name of Jesus. They must have forgot who they was talking about, right? But the meekness, really, the explanation of meekness is power under control. The world is used to us using our own strength to remedy matters. If I got a problem in my home, I usually use my own smarts, Pastor, to try to straighten them out. But let me tell you all Christians something. Whatever situation and whatever problem I have is not to be done by my own power, but is to be done by the Spirit of God. If something is to be straightened out, the Spirit of God better be doing that. So they say he's meek and he's mealy maw-maw and he tough when they're away, but when he get here, what they fail to see, church, is he was illustrating Jesus Christ to them when he was there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. They also had another thing with them, Pastor. They say, he don't sound good when he get here. He don't look good when he get here. Little short, squat guy with a bald head? With a bald head. Stop laughing, Eric. That ain't funny. He's physically not impressive. And his speech is not impressive. But we have to be careful about who we hear and how we judge it. Because God's message comes in very unlikely forms. That's why they did not like Jesus. Because he didn't come the way they thought he should. They're looking for a king. Bring the Romans down. But they didn't understand the plan of God. I'm telling you all, power, victory is not done by natural forces. It's done by supernatural stuff. The Spirit of God indwells you all for that. If you got a problem at home, a problem on your job, a problem with your money, it's not fixed by my financial issues. The Spirit of God has to lead you. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Sister Lisa, I'm tired already. And I've been training. It says, and when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony, proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him, what? Crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much, what? Trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Power. I'm sorry, y'all. I ain't good as Creflo Dollar. I don't sound as good as him. Hey, brother! But listen, I'm speaking the truth to you. And I'm speaking the truth to you in love. So I don't have to have excellency of speech. See, my wisdom don't come from what? Earthly knowledge. It comes from the Spirit of God. And if that is the case, when you go to use what I give you to exercise, it's got power. Yeah, all right. You don't have to say yes to sin no more. Right. Okay. How much time look, Pastor? Bam. Paul says in verse 2, that he hopes not to show boldness or correction to everyone, but only to those who have questioned his authority. Now, everybody in the church was not saying Paul was this and saying Paul was that. There was a certain rebel horde, Brother Ernest. I'm just saying, you know, They were when you try to snap it out over here, they catch fire over here. So the whole church wasn't messed up. He just had a remnant to stomp them over here earlier in Corinthians, and you got to stomp them over here again. So he comes and says, now there's a segment. But what I want to do, Pastor, listen, he had a relationship with this church. He had a close relationship. They had wounded him badly. They had spurned him to his face. But he still had the love of God for them. That's not natural. That's supernatural. If you all spurred me to my face, y'all wouldn't do that, though. And if I was in the natural, I'd say, I'm finished now, baby. Pack your bags up. We gone. But since Christ is living on the inside of me now, I can take the guff. I can take the dismissals. It don't matter. Just as long as I'm giving the gospel. My life don't matter no more. My feelings don't matter no more. It's all about advancement of the what kingdom. And if I teach you right, when sins come knocking at your door, you don't have to say yes no more. Because he stood up there stammering and told us, we don't have to live that way no more. Help me. She was really helping me then. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 to 27. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 to 27. I lost the windscreen and everything. Okay. I've been jumping and hopping, so I guess that kind of says it. Matthew chapter 21, verse beginning at verse 23 to verse 27. Not only, listen, like I gave you all the principle, if you want to get to somebody, you discredit the one that they're listening to. Not only did they try to discredit Paul, but they tried to discredit the Son of God. In the flesh. Amazing. The one who made everything and everybody and holds everything together, they trying to discredit him. Where you get your authority from? What? I made you. Your next breath belongs to me. And you asking me about authority. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 23, going to 27. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him, and he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus answered them, I also will ask you a question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. Absolutely mind blowing. Jesus answered their question of authority with a question of authority. Whose authority did John have to baptize the way he did? Who sent him? They get together, they huddle together. Well, look, if we do this, say this, it's going to be this. If we do this, it's going to be that. they were questioning his authority. You see, if they discredit Jesus, Pastor, everything else falls. That's what happened. That's why you have to be well versed in the scriptures. You not only have to know the scriptures, Brother Kevin, but you have to know what the principles are. You can twist the scripture, but you can't really twist the principle. It's always just standing. Paul answers the accusation about his behavior while in Corinth in a way. I didn't flip backwards, did I? Yes, I did. Paul gives a prescription for dealing with such accusations and those who make them, verses 3 through 6. Paul tells the Corinthians, the ones who said that we walk by the flesh would be surprised at how we fight with what we and with what we fight with. How are we supposed to be fighting, you all? How are we supposed to be fighting? Yeah. On the Lord's side, of course. Give me your umbrella, sister. I didn't mean to snatch it. So, yes, I did. I was trying. Here we go with another one of my illustrations here. Hope it don't crash and burn. What are we supposed to be fighting with? Is it natural stuff? No. People expect you, when they attack you in the flesh, to respond in the flesh. When I get on Audrey's nerves, when I get on her nerves, I know there's always some dissenter somewhere. When I get on her nerves, I have to stop for a minute and say, how am I going to respond? How is this situation going to be fixed? Can I scream and holler and get myself out of this situation? No, I can't. Brother Ernest laughed because you know he's guilty. Anyway, I have to now use what I have learned in the scriptures to deal with my wife with some understanding. The Bible says a soft answer does what, church? It turns away wrath. She said, Billy, I can't stand you. I said, hey, baby, I love you. Give me a hug. Give me a hug. Come hug me. And she come to me. Oh, why am I carrying an umbrella around? Weapon. Amen. And she come to me like this, y'all. I don't mean bust you out. Come to me like this. Stand up. Yeah, and I love her too. I love her. Just like this. This is it. So what you laughing at? You ain't guilty either, are you? I come to her like this and I have to hug and she just stiff. And I say, I'm going to hug her anyway. And listen. And the more I hug, the less she's stiff. The principle is, soft answers turn away wrath. Yeah. When I don't respond in the flesh, I get results. Thanks for that. Put the umbrella down, brother. Okay. I'm dangerous with that. Amen. My weapons are not of the earth. My weapons are provided to me by the living God. And they are provided so that I can be triumphant in the situation I'm in when I'm using them. My wife, my job, my house, my car, it don't matter. My back, my weapons are from God. And the Bible says they are powerful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I didn't finish reading my last text. I got excited there. Y'all got me excited. I thought that was for me, Pastor. I thought that was for me. Leg get to moving, involuntary reflex. I thought it was for me. Verse 27, let me. This is from the previous one. I'm sorry, I was excited. I didn't finish this. This was from them asking Jesus, where did his authority come from? And they come back and do their conference and say, yeah, if we say this, we say that. Verse 27 says, so they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Real quick. We're going here. Why did Jesus, the Spirit of God, take him into the wilderness, church, to be tested? Now, the Spirit of God drove him to the wilderness, the Bible says, to be tested. Why do you test something? To see what it is for real. Now, every test, every request that came from Satan was thwarted by what? The Word of God. And those that are in Sunday school, where did those responses come from? They came from the Old Testament. Boom! The weapons of our warfare are not earthly. They are spiritual and they are powerful. And they get things done that are supposed to be done. What is God's determination for victory, Brother Ernest? Let me give you something real quick. If I had a problem, I got a sin problem, what was his plan for my sin problem? To send his only son to be beat up, to live a perfect life, to be turned in to the high priest, and then to be turned over to the Romans, and then to be crucified, to be put in a borrowed grave, and then to rise again. What type of weapon is that? Did you catch it? What type of weapon is that? That's God's business. That's how he does things. Yeah. His thoughts are not what our thoughts. Yeah. But his thoughts are higher than the heavens are from the earth. Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, I forgot to put that in there. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's do verse 14 to verse 17. That's a typo. That's a rookie typo. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not right. That's not right. Let's go. Ephesians 6:12. Stop laughing, Sheila. Ain't funny. The senior moment. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It reads, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. When somebody, we pin, stand up again, I'm sorry. I get it when I get to the aisle. I'm tired. I'm sorry. See, this is it. If we have a problem, we think it's just this. Are you listening to me? It's not just this. It's what's behind this. It's, we may be fighting, but it's really not who? This right here. It's something behind me, and it's something behind my problem. So if that is a principle, why am I trying to fight with things that don't work in this situation? Thanks. Thanks. See you in a moment. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's go to the next one. I'm running out of time. Paul goes on to say, since our battle is spiritual, so must our weapons be. They are powered by God to destroy arguments, high opinions, and bring every thought unto subjection to Christ. Amen. To destroy arguments, high opinions, and bring every thought unto subjection to Christ. That's where the power is, church. That's where the power is. If we operate the way God tells us to operate. Okay. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 and 17. I got it right. Ephesians. Yeah, Sister Jones always give me that there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. I'm a forward person, you all. That's another dissenter. Forward doesn't have such a good reputation, but I've always had good service out of them. Forward was into racing, and they were going to take Ferrari down. Everybody know what Ferrari is? Beautiful mid-engine cars, beautiful red cars. They were winning every race. Forward got mad and say, I'm going to put something in a race that's going to whoop you. I'm going to show you we got some American muscle. What they did, they got with a company called Lotus. Lotus made the chassis. But on the car itself, they made sure that the statement, it's powered by Ford, was on there. Listen, these weapons that we're about to check out have that same statement on them. But it says that they are powered by God. Wait a minute, the one who brought all the universe together and he's put his statement on this thing and says, powered by God, how can you lose? Amen. What are you losing? What are you using to fight with? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17 reads, stand therefore having the belt of truth. What truth is that? That Jesus is the light. And without him, there is no salvation. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness is that? It's not mine, because my righteousness is what? As a filthy rag. So it has to be the righteousness of who? Christ. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you how the Roman shoes were fixed up. If anybody was ever in a fight, you was never in a fight, Brother Allen, you too big. They scared of you. Your best issue is that you never lose your footing. If you go to throw a punch and you lose your footing, you lose. The Romans had spikes in their shoes so that while fighting, they wouldn't lose their footing. Now, since the gospel of peace is in your life now, your footing is secure now. You don't have to lose your footing no more like you used to. Verse 16 says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. I ain't got nothing to act like a shield. with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Somebody throw something at me. Or, well, that's kind of dangerous. No. And the first thing somebody talk, alley apples and chairs. Okay. Well, since we're failing on that one. Now, if I have this up here and you throw something, it will be deferred because I have something in front of me. What the Bible is trying to get you to see is that you should always have the shield of faith up over you, because it says, the promise is, it quenches the darts of the, what, evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Come on. Whatever situation, whatever problem is, come on, because I'm equipped. I got my helmet, the belt of truth, I got the shield. Whatever comes, I'm ready today. Thanks for the use of that. That's nice. Hey, the conclusion. Y'all go home and go to sleep now. Christians will face opposition as we obey God. Remember, even though we face physical foes, the opposition is really spiritual. The weapons provided for this battle are not human power, but powered by God for victory according to his, what, church, plan. Okay. Hey. He didn't stop hollering and screaming and jumping and losing stuff and seats. The conclusion. If I did anything today is to remind you of what's in your arsenal and is provided by God. Stop losing today and start winning by what you've been equipped and what you've been given. Amen. Hope it was clear. Because the stuff that's clear is the stuff that you walk in, is the stuff that you talk in. You know how to live, you know how to walk. I'll be back as soon as the maestro finished tickling the ivory.